verse 26. Moses says here, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you to go after other gods which you have not known." What a powerful concept. And the concept is true today, that if in our life we are lined up with the Word of God and we are walking according to the will of God, that we will see the blessings of God rain down on our lives.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us for the first half of Are You Living on Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal, which is part three of our series titled Spiritual Lessons from Biblical Places. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of Are You Living on Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal?
The message that I'm going to be sharing today continues on in our series of spiritual lessons from biblical places. And this morning, the message is going to ask a question. And the question is, are you living on Mount Gerizim or are you living on Mount Ebal? As we see the screen before us, this is a biblical place that we are looking at. Right here is the city of Shechem, and if you know your Bible history, you would realize that this is the place where the Lord first appeared to Abraham. And as he appeared to Abraham, he told him that he would make his seed as multiplied as the sand which is by the seashore and the stars which are in the sky. Now, there's another significant thing about this place. And that is, this is the place where Jesus met the woman of Samaria at the well. And they were at Jacob's well. And you may even remember that the lady said, it was in this mountain that we worship God. So these are the two mountains. On the left side, we see Mount Gerizim. And on the right side, we see Mount Ebal. Now, you may ask, what is the significance of these two mountains from a spiritual perspective? And as we go through the lesson today, I'm going to show you that. If we'll look to the next slide. On the next slide, you can see that this is the land of Israel. And here goes Jerusalem right here. Up here is the Sea of Galilee. And this is where Jesus did most of his ministry when he was alive. However, right in the center of Israel, we see Mount Ebal. And we see Mount Gerizim, two mountains that are located in the central part of Israel. Now, as we look at the significance of these two mountains, I'm going to ask that you would open up your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And in Deuteronomy 27, we see in verses 1 through 4, Moses is speaking. And Moses is giving commandments to the children of Israel when they were to enter into the promised land. And as they went into the promised land, Moses told them to come to these two mountains. He told them to come to Mount Gerizim and to come to Mount Ebal. And in verses 1 through 4, he tells them to set up stones on Mount Ebal. And then as we look at verses 5 through 7, he tells them to build an altar on Mount Ebal. And as he goes through, he does something then that becomes real strange, because he divides the children of Israel up into two groups. And he tells one group to stand on Mount Gerizim, and he tells the other group to stand on Mount Ebal. Look at verse 11. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When you are coming over the Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin." So that's half the tribes of Israel. And then in verse 13, he speaks to the other half. He said, "And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali." Strange command that Moses gives. He divides them up and says, okay, half of you stand on Mount Gerizim, and the other half stand on Mount Ebal. Now, another interesting thing about Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim is that there were certain places where you could actually stand and speak, and people would hear you on both sides, whichever side of the mountain they were on. And that became interesting because now you have these people gathered, and now the priest will read the law, and as the priest reads the law, on one side, the people say, "Amen," and they say it as a blessing. And then on the other side, the people say, "Amen," but it's a cursing. Now, if we follow this out and turn to the book of Joshua, we see that Joshua did just as Moses had instructed him. And as he does what Moses had instructed him to do, we see that he does exactly as he said in Joshua chapter 8, if you'll turn there, Joshua chapter 8. And beginning in verse 30, Joshua chapter 8 and verse 30. Then Joshua, and this is once again, once they came into the promised land, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of the whole stones over which no man hath lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all of Israel and their elders and officers and judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests, the Levites, whom bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the sojourner and that was born among them. Half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and those that sojourn among them. As a result of Moses' command, and as a result of what Joshua did when they entered into the promised land, these two mountains, if you will go back to the first slide, these two mountains became known as the Mount of Blessing and the Mount of Cursing. The Mount of Blessing and the Mount of Cursing. And so I'm asking the question this morning, are you living on Mount Gerizim or are you living on Mount Ebal? Are you walking in obedience to the Lord and enjoying the blessings of the Lord? Or do you find that in your life you are struggling? Do you find in your life that there seems to be a curse that is on you? And, you know, you may not have a satanic curse. I'm not talking about that. But you're just not seeing the blessings of the Lord on your life. You're just not seeing the blessings of God in what you are doing. It's a good possibility that you may be dwelling on Mount Ebal, the mountain of the cursing. If we look back a couple of chapters in the book of Deuteronomy, we see that Moses told them that if they obeyed, they would be blessed, and if they disobeyed, they would be cursed. In Deuteronomy, if you'll turn there, chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. verse 26. Moses says here, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you to go after other gods which you have not known." What a powerful concept. And the concept is true today, that if in our life we are lined up with the Word of God and we are walking according to the will of God, that we will see the blessings of God rain down on our lives, that we will take up residence on Mount Gerizim. And we will understand that this is where God would have us to be. Because I'm going to show you something here in a second, is that not only is Mount Gerizim a place of blessing, but it's also a place of something else. But maybe you're over here on Mount Evil, the place of cursing, the place where the blessings of God have been withdrawn. And I just want to tell you today that maybe it's because you have not been obedient and lined up with the Word of God. The choice is yours. As you sit there today, the choice is yours. You have before you Mount Gerizim, and you have Mount Ebal. Which one will you choose? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you'll look there, look what Moses says. And this is powerful. This is powerful. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, in verse 19, Moses says this, keeping along with this theme of cursing and blessing Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. He says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So you see, Mount Gerizim is not only a place of blessing, but it's also a place of life. It's the place where you can have the life of God. It's the place where you can have the spiritual life that God desires for you to have. Mount Gerizim is this place of anointing. Mount Gerizim is this place of refreshing. Mount Gerizim is this place where you can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. When you think about these things, I can have blessings in life, or I can choose a curse and death. And that it's up to me. The choice is up to me. And you know, everybody in here has made a bad choice at some point in time. I was reading this week about some people who had made some bad choices. And some people's bad choices led to the fact that they were cursed. And some people's bad choices led to the fact that they lost their life. Sam Phillips sold a small recording record company to RCA in 1955 for $35,000. It included an exclusive contract with a young man called Elvis Presley. Unknowingly, he forfeited millions of dollars in royalties. That was a bad choice. He missed so-called blessings in this life because of a bad choice. Here goes a real bad choice that brought about a curse. There was a thief here in America that tried to steal two live lobsters, and when he was chased, he decided to stick them down in his pants. Bad choice, bad choice. Real bad choice. In Germany, a bank robber pulls out his gun and demands money. The teller says, I need to see your ID. So he takes it out, and he leaves it with the teller, and he says he walks off with the money. That was a bad choice. Bad choice. Here goes a bad choice right here. This choice cost this person their life. A South African hang glider was out flying one day. He saw a beautiful woman sunbathing on a roof below his flight. He decided to make an obscene gesture at her. The woman's husband appeared with a rifle and blasted him out of the sky. Bad choice. Bad choice. The girl who told Bill Gates, it's either the computer or me. Bad choice. Bad choice. Can going with Geico save you money? Is Abraham Lincoln honest? Honey, do I look fat in this dress? No, I'm not commenting on that. The man that would comment on that, bad choice. Bad choice. So we can make some bad choices. And we need to see that everyone here has the power of choice. That in your life, you have the ability. Man, God has gifted us. And you know, we might say, well, there's a lot of things that I don't have. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish I had this. But you know one thing that you do have? You have been gifted by God with the power of choice. And the choice that you make can lead to blessings in life, or the choice that you make can lead to a curse and death. Adam and Eve, perfect example. God said of every tree in the garden, you can eat except one. All these trees that are here, apple, pear, banana, pineapple, whatever, all you can eat from all of them except one. And they made a choice that not only affected them, but they made a choice that affected all the rest of us. They made a choice that led, first of all, to a curse. Because God cursed the ground. God said that you will work the ground by the sweat of your brow. Their decision led to a curse. And then their decision led to death. It led to death with their relationship with God. Now, instead of them coming to God openly and freely, they had to get fig leaves and hide themselves. And God said, well, that's not going to work, and so he gave them animal skins. We see that it not only led to death, to a relationship with God, but God told them, in the day that you eat of the tree, you will surely die. Now, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they didn't drop over and die. But you know what happened? Death began to enter into their body. And now Adam's once fresh skin would begin to crack and wrinkle. His once full head of hair would either begin to turn white or turn loose. And so we see that the curse came on him, and not only did it bring a curse, but it also brought death. And I'm here to tell you that the choices that you make, every choice that you make that is a significant one, will lead down a path to life and blessings, or lead to a path of cursing and death. When you think about it, there are hundreds of choices that we make every day. I mean, just think. You could pull up to one of the fast food places, and you just can't say, I want some chicken. Because what are they going to say? You want fried or rotisserie? Well, give me fried. You want two-piece or three-piece? Well, give me two-piece. Do you want a dinner or chicken only? Well, give me chicken only. Do you want white meat or dark meat? See, you can't even go. Just order some chicken. You got all these choices that you have. And then when you get finished, they say, well, What do you want for your sides? And then you got 9 choices for your sides. And then when you get finished with all that, some places will ask you, do you want to supersize it? Just think, just stopping to get something to eat. You have been you have been faced with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And if you take the sides, 9, 14, 15 choices just in stopping to get something to eat. And so all day long, we are making choices. And our choices determine how our day is going to go. If we made some poor choices, we may end up at the end of the day feeling bad, guilty, because we did something that we shouldn't have done, or we didn't do something that we were supposed to do. And so our choices affect our day. But the bigger reality is that our choices affect our lives. And where you are today, young people, please hear me. If you just tune in for 1 second, just come on in for this 1 second, and then you can zone back out if that's what you do. Where you are today is a result of the choices that you made along your life. As an adult, as I stand here today, I am here as a result of choices in my life that I have made. And you know, sometimes I would like to, and I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to find a picture of me, and that's why I'm speaking to the young people. I'm going to find a picture of myself when I was about 24, 25 years old. And I'm going to take that picture and I'm going to say, you know what, Bill? Thank you. I want to thank you that you are wise enough to make some choices that honored and pleased the Lord. I want to thank you for allowing God to work in your life and lead you to make choices that have gotten you to where you are today. Now, there might be another picture I pull out and I say, look, Bill, that wasn't too smart of a choice there. That one wasn't too wise. But I can look back at my life and I can clearly say that as a young man, that there were some choices that I made that affected my life. I made the choice when all my other friends didn't go or went and stopped going. I made the choice through the power and the foreknowledge of God to continue to go to college. I made the choice that after I graduated from college, that I would leave Durango, Colorado, and drive across the country to Lynchburg, Virginia. And as I said before, I had to do a study on that word lynch before I went to the burg and found out that it was actually named after a man named John Lynch, to get my master's degree. And then as I was recruiting on the road during football and recruiting season, I made the choice that I was going to continue my education and get my doctorate degree. And all those choices brought me to the place where I am today. And as you sit there today, as an adult, or as you sit there today as a young person, your choices will be what leads you to where you are going or where you are right now. And some of us can look back and we can see choices that we made and we can regret, absolutely regret the choices that we made. And there are other choices that we made that we can rejoice in. But we have this incredible power to choose. Moses said, I stand in record before you today that I have set before you Mount Evil.
Thank you for joining us on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Are You Living on Mount Gerizim or on Mount Ebal? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of Are You Living on Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Are You Living on Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal, or program number 110710. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request, are you living on Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal? Or program number 110710. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.